OLK listening. 04OLK, good afternoon. Kilo 4, Whiskey, Charlie, Lima, K4WCL. Name here is John.
My name's Steve. I'm down here just a little bit south of Gowan, South Carolina. I just got my antenna back up again after several months being down trying to create a new mast.
Not really sure exactly where you are. Not familiar with that town. I'm mobile here in downtown Pickens right now. You got a good signal to the repeater. Sounds perfect. You're full quieting, good audio on that radio. I wouldn't change a thing.
Signal report. This is my first transmission, and I've got a tower made out of bamboo attached to a 25-foot flagpole, and it's about 55 feet in the air, and I'm transmitting on about 6 watts.
Your name was Steve, correct?
True.
How far away from the repeater do you think you are? Because your 6 watts is doing a good job.
Well, I know that if I go over to 26 and head north, I'm about half an hour from the North-South Carolina border. So that makes it probably, what, maybe 15, 20 miles out.
Down near Spartanburg?
Local town to me would be Greer, South Carolina. South of Landrum.
You know where Greer is. I don't live here full-time. I've been a part-time resident of the upstate here for about 11 years and know the area pretty well, but I don't know every nook and cranny yet. I'll be moving up here full-time in the not-too-distant future, and I'm looking forward to getting the heck out of Atlanta, where we currently spend 4 days a week. So, matter of fact, I used to work for a company that was based in Greer on Batesville Road, if you know where that is.
Batesville Road. I'm currently still employed down here at the BMW plant in Greer, Spartanburg County. Yeah, you said Atlanta? Buddy, I can't blame you for winning out of there.
Yeah, the time has come. When I moved to Atlanta 42 years ago, Atlanta was actually a nice town. A big, small city, or a small, big city, depending on your perspective. I grew up in New York, so to me it was a big, small city. But, yeah, it's gotten to be the jungle. And where we live, out by Lake Lanier, about 40 miles north, used to be the country. And it is no longer the country. It is just like any other Atlanta suburb with lots and lots and lots of traffic.
Last time I went to Atlanta was in a car, but I pulled a 41-foot RV behind a 3500 Ram. And I would take an extra day or two to get around Atlanta rather than try to go through Atlanta.
Blame you a bit. I try to avoid going into the city. My office is in northwest Atlanta, not too far from Georgia Tech and the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But I'm in sales, so this vehicle is kind of my office. But I tell you, since COVID, I figured out I don't really need to be on the road anymore. I've got a pretty solid customer base, so I mainly work from the dining room table, and there's no traffic in my dining room. The Beamer plant.
Call an ESA, or Equipment Service Associate. Basically, what I do is run all the computers and robots and fixtures and all that, so PAs, or Production Associates, can make cars, so I'm the first responder to errors and maintenance and repairs and that sort of thing for the line.
In that automobile assembly plants have changed quite a bit since the last time I was in one. Way back in the late 70s and early 80s, when I was a college student, I was very fortunate enough to get a summer job working at a General Motors assembly plant in my hometown of, well, back then it was called North Tarrytown, New York, about 20 miles north of the Bronx, north of New York City. Town is now called Sleepy Hollow, but, and the General Motors plant is no longer there, but yeah, I got to work on the line and be a human robot. Did the same thing once a minute.
Down back in about 1986 at a company at Bosch down in Charleston was automotive, making fuel injectors and anti-skid braking. And most everything was done by hand. We had basically like some huge CNC or precision grinding machines, but material handling was done by people. Nowadays, somebody takes a part out of a bin, puts it into a fixture, and it's not touched again until the guy gets into the seat and drives the car off the assembly line.
And the first thing at that plant that became automated was the painting process. The first year I worked there, people still painted the cars, and then after that they put robots in. But all the spot welding of all the sheet metal panels, that was all still done by humans. I'm sure that whole process now is totally automated. K4WCL.
Oh, okay. I have a line that consists of about 35 robots, 40 robots, and I have one operator at the end of the line putting on plastic parts. Other than that, every bit of the material handling and process is done with robots.
I'd love to come see what a modern assembly plant, I couldn't think of the word, looks like these days. Probably nothing like I remember it. But, you know, for a kid trying to finance his way through college, that was I hated it. I had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I think the line started at 6, and I hated every minute of it. But I was making good money, you know. I was making the kind of money that people were supporting family of four, family of five on, and I banked every nickel of those paychecks, and that helped supplement my income during the school year. So, you know, I cussed it, but I was very blessed all at the same time.
Typical work day starts at 5:15, so I'm right there with you. But did you know that you can go to the Zetrum there at the BMW plant just off of 85 there and sign up and take a tour of the plant and actually walk through with a guided tour?
I know that, but I kind of figured they did give tours, because I remember they used to have tour groups come through when I was working there. You know, maybe that's something I put on the old bucket list for when I retire, because I would definitely love to see that. I know I would just marvel at how different things are in 40-something years, but if I'm not mistaken, that plant makes the all the X BMWs, and I believe it makes the Roadster, the Z, I think is what it's called, Z4, or maybe they've got a newer model now, I don't know.
Four has moved on to another plant, but the Spartanburg plant here makes X1s, X3s, X5s, X6s, X7s, X9s, and I believe some few X4s. But one of three plants that make X5s, because they're so popular. There's a plant in Mexico and a plant in China, but we started out being the only plant making X5s for a while.
E3 Roadster made there at one time?
That's the vehicle that the plant originally opened with about 30 years ago.
Imagine the SUV market is probably a very strong one for not only BMW, but all the manufacturers.
The model series is the only thing made here at Spartanburg now, but we're getting ready to start making battery-powered and hybrid units here this coming next couple of years.
Let's see a lot of the manufacturers are pulling back their EV programs. Is BMW going forward full steam ahead with theirs, or are they reconsidering?
I was given, they've never fully committed to battery power. They looked at the market, management decided that they were going to follow the lead of the customer. So while we make some electric vehicles, we have not abandoned the ICE or internal combustion engine at all. But I know that they're getting big into working on hydrogen and alternative fuel engines as well.
Hey, I'm a huge fan of electric vehicles. A lot of limitations and good grief, I hate to think of what, if Washington, D.C. had its way and everybody had to convert over to an electric vehicle, the havoc that would wreak on the power grid. And, I've been hearing about hydrogen fuel cells, I guess it's hydrogen, for quite some time now, but I've always heard that it was very expensive. Is that technology getting closer to being practical for automobiles?
When you say all that, because I am a nuclear power electronics technician trained in all kinds of electrical, and you're absolutely right. If we tried to go 100% electric in this world today, our electric grid would collapse. It could not support it. Hydrogen fuel cells, currently we're actually using hydrogen fuel cells in our forklifts. The issue with those is they like a more constant load on them rather than the changing variation that you get with road travel. What they're coming out with is more of a hydrogen fuel cell doing a steady charge into a bank of batteries, which absorbs surges and whatnot.
Very interesting. That's very interesting. If I remember, and it's been a while since I've read about this, but the only byproduct from a hydrogen fuel cell is water, is that correct?
They take hydrogen, run it across a catalyst with the oxygen from the air, and you make H2O, or water.
I'm sleeping that day. Well, very good though, Steve. Sounds like you got a really neat job there. So, anyway, I'm turning into our development here. I don't know if you're familiar with northern Pickens County. We're up here by Table Rock here, little community called the Rocket Joe Cassie. If you're a golfer, you may know it because there's a nice little golf course up here. But I'll be in the driveway here in just a second. Bravo Zulu there on the antenna. Sounding good. So go ahead and wrap it up. I'll look for you again. I get on this repeater Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday when I'm up here trying to get to know some of the local hams here. I've met several of them. Still got a lot to go, though. K4WCL.
I've actually been driving up through that area a few times. It's beautiful up in that area. And I'm glad you're moving here. Enjoy the environment. It's some of the best in the country as far as I'm concerned. KO4OLK out.